Donations for the octuplets born in Houston include a year of free groceries, formula, and diapers from several companies. The babies remain in critical condition. One has a common but treatable heart condition. The mother, who used fertility treatments to conceive, is stable. Some other women are finding that they've waited too long to give birth. Women in their late 30s and 40s produce fewer healthy eggs, making conception difficult. While fertility doctors continue developing treatments to help women conceive, another avenue, buying eggs to become pregnant, is increasingly controversial. Minnesota Public Radio's Catherine Winter has a report, and for privacy reasons, she changed some names.
Every year, just before Christmas, a New Jersey infertility clinic throws a party. Hundreds of people fill a hotel ballroom decorated with lights and candy canes. Small children in fancy outfits gape at a puppet show or run among the tables where families eat hors d'oeuvres. One couple, in their early 40s, tried for a decade to conceive.
We've brought our wonderful son, who is now just over 2 years old, and we're very happy.
Mike and Eileen's son was conceived in a glass dish in a laboratory where Mike's sperm fertilized an egg from a donor. The developing embryo was placed in Eileen's uterus. It's called IVF, in vitro fertilization, using a donor egg. The child is genetically related to Mike, but not to Eileen, who gave birth to the baby boy. But the mothers here say being pregnant and giving birth to their children is what's important. Rebecca Blankstein is a mom of an egg donor baby, too. She strokes her infant son, Marcus.
He's a very good baby. I'm thrilled to have him. He's been mine really since the day of conception. I've never thought of him ever as anything else.
To conceive Marcus, the Blanksteins paid about $18,000 for drugs, medical procedures, and the egg donor's fee. Despite the cost, the number of infertile couples receiving egg donations has grown steadily over the past decade. Demand for eggs outstrips supply. Some couples advertise for donors. Some turn to a sister or a friend. A California graduate student named Emily donated eggs to a friend.
She is more like a sister to me in a lot of ways. I think that they'd make really great parents. And I saw how much pain this was causing my friend in her life.
To donate eggs, Emily had to endure painful hormone injections to stimulate her ovaries. A woman normally produces one egg a month, but the drugs can make her produce a dozen or more. Then a doctor surgically removes those eggs.
I was sort of led to believe that this is an incredibly low-risk procedure, that people do it all the time, that it, you know, sometimes something mildly bad happens to one in 10,000 women.
But the hormones pushed Emily's ovaries too far. She produced about 50 eggs, and she wound up with ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome, a complication that can lead to fluid buildup in the chest and abdomen, kidney failure, and even death. Emily had to be hospitalized. When she got out, she was hardly able to walk up the steps to her apartment for weeks. The doctor had an incentive to put Emily at risk. He had made a deal with the infertile couple. If they didn't have a baby, he didn't get paid.
You know, these guys aren't in it as a matter of benevolence. They're in it for the money. He wanted to get the recipient couple pregnant, and I believe that he went beyond what's really ethical in terms of my health.
Emily is healthy now, but still doesn't know whether she'll face problems in the future. The long-term effects of hyperstimulation syndrome are unknown. Many medical ethicists are uneasy about the idea of potentially harming one woman to provide eggs for another, especially when money is involved. A woman can make $2,000 to $5,000 for one donation, and in some cases much more, particularly for hard-to-find donors such as Asian or Jewish women. The money is said to compensate the donor for her time and trouble, not to buy parts of her body. But Dr. Ruth Macklin, an ethicist at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York, still opposes the high fees.
It certainly sounds like they're not donors, but vendors to me. When the rate goes up, everybody follows suit. This is precisely an example of market forces that drive this, and it has a very unsavory quality to me.
In countries where fees are not allowed, such as England, egg donors are nearly impossible to find. In England, a couple may wait years for a donor. Dr. Kamal Ahuja is head of the Cromwell Hospital IVF program in England.
We have not yet had the time to look at the medical aspects of the treatment, psychological aspects of the treatment, in this country at least. We are not so sure whether by aggressively advertising for donors, we might not be attracting those unsuspecting people who want to do something good in their life, and in the process are subjecting them to risks that they might come to regret.
But in the U.S., the vast majority of donated eggs come from paid donors. And in the for-profit world of American medicine, there's money to be made brokering eggs, finding donors for infertile couples. The Center for Surrogate Parenting and Egg Donation in Beverly Hills lets clients search a computer database containing hundreds of profiles of women willing to be donors.
You can run a query or a search for specific criteria, say Christian, Caucasian, eye color green, and blonde hair. And it pulls up 23 applicants. It has a color picture.
Some couples search for a brilliant, gorgeous donor, but many simply want a donor who looks like the mother-to-be in hopes the child will resemble both parents. The center tries to find a variety of healthy women and tries to screen out those who would long for the children made with their genes. People in the egg donation business say they want donors who believe they're giving up eggs they wouldn't be using anyway, not giving up babies.
Go, Josh, go! Go! Kick it in, bud! Oh, follow that up!
On a Saturday afternoon, 29-year-old Quincy watches her little boy run up the soccer field as her husband, the coach, yells encouragement. In addition to her son and a daughter, Quincy has helped produce six other children. Her eggs produced a set of triplets who live in Germany. She's never seen them.
Curious to what they look like, you know, and things like that, but not that I'm missing out on anything, because I think it's just that you made a family, you know, so you don't long for their children because they wouldn't be a family without you.
More than 10,000 donor babies have been born in the last decade, and the number grows every year. But Helene Rosenberg expects the growth to level off. Rosenberg has twin donor babies and coordinates the egg donation program at IVF New Jersey. She believes there will always be some need for donors, for women who've had premature ovarian failure, for instance. But she thinks the end of the baby boom will mean the end of the egg boom, too.
I hear it all the time. The generation that forgot to have children. I think that's what's happening now, and I don't think we're going to have that, because I don't think this new generation of 30-year-olds is going to forget to have children.
Eventually, technology may make egg donation unnecessary for older women. Researchers are working on ways to freeze human eggs. So someday, a woman may be able to store her own eggs when she's young and use them later, when she's ready to have children. For NPR News, I'm Catherine Winter.
The NPR series on fertility is produced by Stephen Smith, Stephanie Curtis, and American Radio Works. It's edited by NPR's Ann Gudenkoff.